Okay, we're holding on Mamdalid on the base, second line of the wide line. We learned yesterday you had a case where a girl, Tana, was in Scottish without the das of her father. We discussed yesterday, although there's a number of opinions among Rishonim, what does it mean without his das? Was he present? Was he not present? Did he react to words, etc.? We said Shmuel had said she needs to get and she needs mu, and we discussed the reason for that is technically it should be just be one or the other, but you have to be able to cover both possibilities. What if the father did agree, and then it's a valid kiddushin, and then you need a get, and you need miyun in case he didn't, and you still want to have miyun in that case, because otherwise people are going to think, seeing a get, they're going to think that there was a valid marriage over here. Her sister, therefore, kiddushin are not tefillah. If this calls them later on as the kaddish sister, they may not realize that that's actually tefillah. See, so you do a miyun to demonstrate to people that there may not have been any actual marriage. Both of them are not really jabbanim, but whatever. Both of them are to cover all our bases. That was Shmuel who said that. And then we said that Rav and Shmuel actually both agreed to this. Rav Nachman had said that all this is talking about if there had been shidduchim, if there had been previously there had been discussion between the chassan and the father that he wants to be in the kaddish that he wants to be the kaddish to the girl. If there was no shidduchim, then there's no reason to think the father would have agreed at all. And Ullah had said that you wouldn't need the get because you wouldn't need the get because there's no possibility that maybe you would need the miyun but yeah. And then Ullah had said that she doesn't even need miyun. And we said that actually they're not really arguing per se, it's just there are two different understandings of what the situation is over here. That are we talking about that there was shidduchim necessarily, or are we talking about that it doesn't matter? Now, ikadamri, so now as we're here where we're holding, ikadamri, another version is omahullah, that Ullah said this not in relation to the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, where Rav and Shmuel had said she needs get and miyun, and on that Ullah says she doesn't even need a miyun, and that leads us into discussion, are we talking about with or without shidduchim? According to this version, Ullah is just saying as an independent statement. And it doesn't matter whether shidhu or lo shidhu, katana shin is skadish, shalei l'daas aviyah, katana was in skadish without her father's knowledge, or without his consent, whatever. Afilu miyun ain't it tzricha that she doesn't even need miyun, because my katana doesn't count for anything. So again, in the previous case, we had to discuss that we said that if there was shidhu, then Ola could not say afilu miyun ain't it tzricha, only if lo shidhu. Here, in the second version, he's saying it doesn't make a difference. Most of Rav Kahana. Now, Rav Kahana asks us a stira. This is the second version of what Ullah is saying. Both of them were both reported in the name of Ullah. I mean, Ullah maybe just said afilu miyun ein tzricha, and there were two different understandings of in what context he said it. Did he say it as a continuation of Rav and Shmuel had their machloikas, and I'm further addressing that? Or is it I'm making an independent statement of my own, and therefore it doesn't matter whether there was a shidduch involved beforehand or not? Okay, most of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says I have a contradiction. In the first Mishnah in Yevamos, we learned over there about the 15, or actually 16, Ervas, if one of them, as well as a Sarah, who's unrelated, was married to one brother, and then he died, and now the other one, is, and now both of them are up for Yibum. Well, the Eruva isn't because you can't do Yibum with her, and therefore she's Potter from Chalitza as well. And we said the Tzara is Potter as well. The Mishnah had said there, but hold on, all of these 15 cases in Mesu, if in any of these cases the Eruva had died before the brother who was married to her had died, or they had done miyun, or they were divorced, or they turned out to be an Ilonis, where an Ilonis, as we learned in Yevamos, you can't do Yibum with her. In all those cases, Tzaris and Mutaris, in all those cases, their Tzaris are mutter in the sense that they can do Yibum, and if they don't want to do, and if there's not going to be Yibum done, then they have to have Chalitza. Because in other words, you have the case, for example, a classic case of Basa Jose, for example, where one brother was married to the other brother's daughter, and then he, as well as to a Tzara, if sometime before he died, that daughter who he's married to died, his brother's daughter, died, at this point, when he himself died, all that's left is the Tzara, and when she was not called the Yibum, when the situation of Yibum came about, she's not the Tzara of an Era anymore. So, we have to ask, when we say over here, we're talking about over here, one of the cases in the Mishnah is Mianu, that they did Mianu, the Kid Shaman. Now, who accomplished the Kedushin for this girl in the first place? If we're talking Mion, obviously she has to be a Ktana. So who accomplished the Kedushin for the Ktana in the first place? Elaim de Kidshavia, whether her father was Mekadosh, well, then that was Meder Aisa. Mion Sagila. Then Mion's not enough. A Kedushin that her father did, hello, a valid Meder Aisa, get Malia by it for you. She's going to need a full-fledged get. There's no such thing as Mion in that case. Elolav de Kidsha Ianafsha. Obviously, the situation we must be talking about in that Mishnah. Which I was really happy, kind of by definition. A meal can't be done by Naira. So it has to be. Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. Elolav de Kidsha e Nafsha. Evidently, it must be that she was Makadish herself without her father's consent or without his knowledge, whatever. Vikatona de Boya Mion. And the Mishnah is implying, the Mishnah is saying that she needs Mion. Because we're saying if she did Mion, and then later on, her ex-husband, or not really ex, because the Mion dissolved the whole marriage, it didn't exist, but whatever. That husband, yeah, that person who was once her husband, now he dies and he has another wife, et cetera, then that sort of new calistery.
So that goes against
the point. That's exactly what we're asking. That's the theater against Ula. Ula is saying that Tana, that Niskadish, Shaloy Ladasa, via. Just doesn't need Mion, let alone a get. From that Mishnah, it seems to imply she does need Mion.
Right.
Okay, Tosfos points out, I mean, on the face of it, the question is kind of on Rav and Shmuel as well, because, I mean, Shmuel said she needs a get and Mion. So, okay, Tosfos says Shmuel could answer that there's a difference between Shidduch and not Shidduch here in this version of Ullah. We're not making that distinction. We're saying regardless, Shidduch or not Shidduch, either way, Shidduch or not Shidduch, either... Rabotai, Rabbi Abson, is it shy of maybe that we can learn here and you can have your conversations there?
Thank you, Paul.
Lou, you don't want to
huh?
No. No, okay, let's go.
Okay, I'll ask you.
Okay. So that's the question. The Mishnah in Yevamos is implying that there's a case of a Ktana who can do Mion, and evidently we're assuming that her father is still alive. Memdalet Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Memdalet Amud
Beis.
Thank you. Okay. So, who most of love or whom of Farak law? Okay, so Rav Kahana asked the question. Rav Kahana also found the answer. You could have a case that we learned about in Yevamos called Yisoma B'chaye Av, where she was in Skadish, married, and then widowed or divorced. Then she, at that point, she's a Yisoma B'chaye Av, even though her father is still alive, he has no more reshus over her as far as Kedushin. Therefore, now,
the father made
the original Kedushin. Then he passed away, then her husband died or divorced her. At that point, even though her father is still alive, she's considered as if she was a Yisoma. She's out of his reshus.
That's only the
Nisuin. Sorry, I meant there has to be Nisuin as well. You're right. After the Nisuin, yes. So that's the case. Yisoma b'chaya. In that case, now... Once there's Nisuin, she's forever out of her father's reshus. Kohen, well, we're going to talk about a Kohen in a couple of lines, yeah. But right now, yeah. So now, if she were to, this little girl who's now an Amona or Grusha, if she goes and is Mekadosh herself, which she has the ability to now, being out of her father's reshus, but still, or actually, the truth is the Macholik is running whether she can be Mekadosh herself or whether you still need a Gadol, whether you need her mother or her brothers or whatever to do it on her behalf.
She's still a
Ktana, yeah, because we're talking about Mion. Then if she remarries somebody else, then she's still able to do Mion Smith. There is a situation where you have a Ktana who's able to do Mion, but her father is still alive. So it's not that she was in the Scottish, it's that now the second condition didn't require Dasavia because he's out of the picture. The second condition doesn't require the father's das because once she had the first historian, she's out of his interest.
She's a
Ktana, fine. So that's why she's able to still do Mion. But that is why you don't need Mion. She's allowed Miun is that she can say, Miun, that she can say, EFSHI, I don't want to be married to this guy. When you have a marriage which is valid only to Rabbanan, like in this case, the marriage of Ksana,
yeah.
who was the Scottish Shalala Dasavia, it can be dissolved with Miun. No, it means, in other words, that, well, it's Mevatel, her second marriage, but it means, in other words, therefore, returning to what we were quoting from Yavamas, is therefore, if she was Memayin, later on her husband, her ex-husband, whatever, dies, and he had another wife, that other wife is going to have to do Chalitza or Yibam. Right, so it's not a contradiction to her life. Right. Okay, Masiv Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says I have another contradiction. So this idea that Ula is saying that Ksana, who was Niskadish without her father's das, he says does not need Miyun at all. We learned earlier in the Masechta when we were talking about the dinim of Amar Hevriya, Ein Mocher LeKrovim, that the father cannot sell her to close relatives because it has to be somebody who would be capable of doing kiddushin yud with her, and a close relative is not. Mishum Rav Elazar Amru, in the name of Rav Elazar, on the side here it says Rav Eliezer, Amru Mocher LeKrovim, you can sell her to relatives because we learned back in the first parak he learned from a pasuk that there can be a case where you sell her as an Amar even though yud is not possible. The Shavin and both of them do agree, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yezer do agree, Shemarcha Amona Lakoin Gadol, that if this girl is an Amona, that the father can sell her as an Amor Hevriya to a Kohen Gadol. Yes, a Kohen Gadol can have an Amor Hevriya. But he's not allowed to marry her because she's an Amona. However, Kedushin would be Tofus if he were to be Miyayed her, if he were to be Mekadosh her, he's not allowed to, it would be an Isra. But not the Kedushin are Tofus. Kedushin are Tofus. You would need a guest. The point is. So therefore, he can sell her as an amana to a Kohen Gadol, Grusha v'chalutz to a Kohen Hadid. Or he can sell her, if she's a Grusha or Grusha v'chalutz, he can sell her to a Kohen Hadid. Now, let's ask, Kai amana hechidami. What kind of amana are we talking about? Again, Ilema de Kidshavia. Is it that her father was the Kaddisher previously, that her father was the Kaddisher, that her husband died? The problem with that is me must be Zabin law. Then how is he allowed to sell her afterwards as an Amor Hevriya? How ain't other Mocher as Bitil Shivchos Achar Ishus? We learned in the first parak that once she was married, again once her father married her off one time, then he doesn't have any. No, there's two different things. After Misurin, he doesn't have Rishus over her for any purpose. We had a machlokas in the first parak when we were talking about the dinim of Amor Hevriya. Is after he was Mekadosh her to somebody, does he have the ability after that to sell her to Shifus? We had a couple of different opinions over there, but yeah. So our Gemara is assuming, according to the understanding, that he can. Once he was Mekadosh her to somebody, so let's say that guy died before there was ever Nisuin. Nevertheless, he doesn't have the ability to sell her again. So what are you talking about? He could sell her as an almana to a Kohen Gadol. El Olav to Kaddish Yi Naksha. Evidently, then, we must be talking about where she was Mekadosh herself, V'kakori la Almana. And yet we see the Braisa is calling her an Almana, implying that the marriage had some validity. So according to Shmuel, who said that that kind of thing requires a guest and Miyun, then fine, it means the marriage has some validity. Or at least there was a possibility that it did, because maybe the father agreed. But according to Ula, who says, Ein Maisa Katan Kluk, Tana Klumi, says because she's a Tana, what she did doesn't count for anything, she doesn't even need Miyun, then it wasn't a marriage. How can you call her an Amana? How can you say she would even be also to a Kohen Gadol? Okay, Mela, if it had been after Misuin, fine. You could say she's a Ba'ula, she can't be with a Kohen Gadol, but if it was only from Eruvdin, she's still a B'sula. She's still a Tana, she's still a B'sula. Why indeed would a Kohen Gadol not be able to marry her? Okay, Tosfos discusses a little bit the details. Again, maybe we could be distinguishing between shidhu and not shidhu, whether there was a shidduch, whether there was the father was involved previously before the kedushin ever happened or not. Yeah. Tosfos says that if there was shidduch, then it would be considered kamosha kidsha avia. Then even if she herself received the kedushin on her own, nevertheless, since there was a shidduch beforehand, since there was a conversation with the father previously, that the chassan, the prospective chassan, talked with the father and got him to agree that there will be kedushin over here, even if the actual kedushin later happened shalemi das avia, let's say the father's not around, it would still be considered that he did it. Yeah.
As long as he didn't know.
Yeah, as long as he didn't. Okay. So we have the question. You know what? The kind of kedushin we're talking about over here, where we're saying that she's an almana, and we're talking about the father, whether he can or can't sell her to a kohen gadol, the kedushin from which she became an almana is actually kedushin of yud. Namely, the scenario over here is like this. The father sold her one time before she was ever married to anybody. He sold her as a shimba, as an almah hebriya. This Adon did yield with her, which the pasuk says that he can do. He can he betrothed her to him as a wife. He's mekadesh her. Then he dies. Now we did also learn over there. We had a machlokas whether the father can sell her as a shifcha again, whether he's able, having sold her as a shifcha once, whether he's able to sell her as a shifcha again. The halacha is he can. Therefore, he can. He is able to. But he can marry. He can sell her the shifchos acha shifchos. He can't sell her the shifchos acha ishrus. After there was ishrus, after there was kiddushin, but shifchos acha shifchos, she can. What? Right, I don't know what we're talking about yet. So what happens over here? So again, she was a shifchos. Yud is kiddushin. Yud is kiddushin, and it means the expectation is that the other, you know, his son is going to be miyayed her, which is kiddushin, and later on he's going to marry her. But here we haven't reached that stage yet. Here we're talking about the father. Yeah, that's the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim. What's the lashon over there? Imra be'enei Adonai ashalo ya'ada behefta ashalo ya'ada. That the expectation is that ya'ada, that he should be miyayed, that he should be mekadesher. But if he did, so the scenario over here is the father sold her to person A. He was miyayed her. So now she's an arusa. Then he dies. Yud is a form of Ederson. It's not Bia. No, it's not Bia.
She's a widow.
Now that's the thing. Now he dies. Now she's a widow. But it was only Mina Ederson. So she returns to her father. She returns to her father's Ashurus. He now has the ability. Well, he has now the ability to sell her as a shifcha again. She's an almana.
Why?
Well, one second. That's, we need one more detail. This would only work according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. To Amar Moish Rishonis Lav LeKedushin Ditna. He says that L'chatchila. Now, how does Yud work? You have originally the father sells the daughter for as an Amar Hevriya, and he gets a certain sum of money for her. Later on, there may or may not be Yud. If Yud happens, does it mean that?
She says, "I don't want."
No, well, we talked about over there whether it requires her das or not. Let's not get into that right now. The point is. She's a tana, remember. She doesn't have full das anyway. But let's not get into that right now. The point is like this. When the Adon is miyayed, the Adon has the choice to be miyayed her or not. If he is, on what basis is he miyayed? One way of looking at it,
he's miyayed her.
The Adon, the master, is miyayed this Amar Hevriya who was sold to him. What? We're not saying, who said it? If he
was,
miyayed means he's mekadesh her. The lashon of the pasuk is Ashalo Ya'ada. It's Mekadesher, yeah. So what happened? There's two ways of looking at it, we learned earlier. We can say that the original money that the Adon paid to the father for this girl, that itself is the Kesef Kedushin, therefore nothing else is needed. Or Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that no, the original money was not given Lashem Kedushin. Now if the Adon wants to be Miyayed her, he has to be Miyayed her with the fact that there's still work, not with additional money that he gives now, but with the fact that there's still work that she still has to do. There's still a few years left.
The
first Adon we're talking about. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, what happens when he's mekadesh her, the father is not involved. According to the Chachamim, that Moritz had shown us the Kedushin Nitnu, it means the father was involved in the Kedushin. If the father was involved in the Kedushin, we have nothing to talk about. According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the father was not involved in the first Kedushin. Because when the father received the money, that didn't constitute yield. That was just a fail. Later on, when the Adon wants to be Mekadesher, which is called Kedusha Yield, the father's not involved. Therefore, you could say, if at that point, so now we could say, like Ola, such a marriage, because the father's not involved, doesn't really need anything at all to dissolve it. If he dies now, she completely returns to her father's Ashurus. It's like there was never a marriage over here. However, to a certain extent there was, because there was Kedushin that she received. She's considered an Almana, and therefore you can talk about being an Almana L'Kohen Gadol.
She didn't live with him.
There was only Kedushin. But it was Kedushin that she accepted without her father being involved. Which is what Ola is saying.
But in that case, she doesn't need mute.
You said there was Aderson.
That's this. The yield is Aderson. Fine, but Aderson. If
Church means they live together.
No, Nisuin means they live together. Aderson is
the.
There was no Nisuin. Of course not. No. Okay. Now, let's continue. Itmar, the Gemara says, let's have a further
discussion.
So that would explain Ula, that even though you can call her an Almana, because the fact is there was condition over here, but the father still has the ability to sell her again because she never totally left his Rishus. She didn't, that's the point. She still says... No, she was temporarily out of his Rishus. No, at that point, if she can sell the shifa sapa shifa, even if she finishes one term as a shifa, he's able to sell her again as for another term as a shifa.
As long as she's a
tana, sure, the nairi can't sell her anymore. Yeah. Itmar, now let's have a further discussion. What happens? Let's continue with the scenario that somebody was makadish a girl, a katana, without her father's daf. Again, what it means without her father's daf, was her father present, was he not, did he object, not, etc. Yeah.
Again?
Katana, yeah. Now, what happens? That's what we're discussing. Mess. What happens now? This person who was Makadish or died, the Nafal Lifei Achav Yibum, and now she's up for Yibum to his brother. Now, we learned in Yevamos that Midaraisa all you need for Yibum is Bia. Midarabanan, you're supposed to have before the Bia, you're supposed to have Mimer, which is yet another type of Kiddushin. He gives her kesef or shtar or whatever, and says, and there's a mimer, there's a declaration that I'm going to be doing yibum with you. We learned in Yevamos that if mimer was done, mimer is only valid on a drabanan level. But if mimer was done, it doesn't take away the zika, it doesn't take away the necessity for her to do yibum or chalitza. However, you need a get in order to dissolve that mimer. If he did mimer with her. And then they change their mind, she needs a get. She'll still need chalitza as well, but she'll need a get for the minor. So, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, in that case, she would have to do miun as far as the mimer. Namely, when she receives the get for the mimer, she's going to have to do miun as well. So she's going to need, at the same time. The Einim Ma'enes L'Zikosai, however, if he didn't do mimer, and all there is is a zika, all there is that she's a Shemeres Yavam, and then there's no get involved, if she just needs chalitza in that case, she does not also need to do miun along with the chalitza. Why is that? Kesad. Also the mimer, if the yavam did mimer with her, and then we said once mimer was done, and then he changes his mind and he decides not to go through with the yibum, he needs to give her a get. Tzricha get, therefore she needs a get to undo that mimer. Utsricha chalitza. She'll also need chalitza because on the daraisa level the get doesn't do anything. You need chalitza as well. Utsricha miun. And in this case, she will also need miun.
Miun for the.
Miun, well, because again, you have the two possibilities. Remember, we're talking about the second guy did mimer with her, but you still have to consider he did it on the basis of that his brother was possibly niskadish to her. Well, did the father agree to those first kiddushin or not? The same suffix that we had before, which is led Shmuel and Rav to say that you need both a get and miun, that operates over here also.
Because of the suffix.
Tzricha get, sheminitzrapta abakidusha sheni. She needs a get because she needs a get because what if the father ended up agreeing? What if, let's say, okay, fine, let's say the father didn't agree to the original brother's kiddushin, but let's say maybe he agreed to the second brother's kiddushin. So then she needs a get from that. Tzricha chalitza, sheminitzrapta abakidusha rishin. She needs chalitza because what if the father agreed to the kiddushin of the first one and now she's a shemeres yavam and now a shemeres yavam needs chalitza? And she also needs miun. What if the father didn't agree to either brother's kiddushin? So then what would come out is, again, when people are not going to realize that there was a potential possible marriage which is valid, I'll be told over here, to either the first or the second one. And again, you're going to have the same problem. As we said yesterday, in kiddushin types in Bachoita, people are going to think that later on, this chosen, the yavam is Makadish, her sister, where if she was ever his grusha or his chalutza, he can't marry her. But people are not going to people may think in that case, then the kedushin are not tefes. They're not going to realize. After all, there's a possibility maybe the father never agreed to any of this at all. None of the kedushin were ever chal because she's a kana after all. And therefore, we need the miyun in order to cover that, in order to make sure that people realize that, it's not necessarily for sure that there was a valid marriage over here. Kedushin might be tosis with her sister, and if he were to be Makadish with her sister, he would need to get inside. What? The girl, the Katana, is doing miyun. She does miyun. She says, I don't want to be married.
So that nullifies the whole thing?
In an ordinary case where Tana is miscadish by somebody other than her father, yes, miyun nullifies the whole thing. In this case, again, because we can't be sure whether the father agreed to one or the other kedushin, or maybe to neither of them, therefore you need all three. You need a get because of the mimer, you need chalitza because she's a possible yavama, and you need a miyun in order that people shouldn't think. In order that people shouldn't think later on if this guy the yavam goes in as makadosh her sister, people should not think that you can marry your sister. People should not. If you only have chalitza and get. People would think, okay, well, then the sister is either achos grushotay or achos chalutotay. Neither one you're allowed to marry, especially achos grushotay. Kedushin aren't even tofus as long as she's alive. Therefore, people are going to think the kedushin weren't tofus, where really they might be. You need miyun, so that way people realize, hey, wait a minute, there was miyun over here. We know that miyun undoes everything, and therefore it's as if there was never any marriage over here. And kedushin with her would be tofus, just like they would with any stranger. Therefore, they'll realize there is a potential kedushin over here with the sister, and therefore you need a get. Otherwise, people might be confused. Sorry, what were you saying? You weren't with us in Yavama.
Because when she's alive.
That's what we're talking about, yeah. Okay. Okay. I mean,
same humor not long ago, so you weren't here.
Okay. Rashi himself says. I mean, why are we concerned whether the father agreed to the kedushin of the first one? Let's say he agreed to the first one's kedushin and not the second one, and not the second one's mimer. Then you don't need a get over here. All you need is chalitza. And achos chalutzasa is only also the rabbanon, and kedushin would be tofus. So Rashi ends up saying that, okay, you're right. You can't marry the sister of your chalutza, but that's only also the rabbanon. Kedushin would be tofus with her. You can't marry the sister of your grusha, that's also the daraisa, and kedushin would not be tofus with her. That's the difference, which the Gemara itself is going to mention that distinction soon. So Rashi says that really, okay, the Gemara did not really have to mention anything about the father not liking the kedushin. The Gemara just mentioned it incidentally. A number of other Rishonim discuss other possibilities. Tosfos discusses it at some length over here. Reasons why maybe the Gemara had to specify that he agreed to the first one's condition, not the second one's condition. One logical reason that a couple of Rishonim bring up is you might argue that the first one, Mela, he was Mekadisha without the father's knowledge, without his consent, without nothing. Of course, we can assume the father wouldn't agree to it. The second one, on the other hand, yes, he did it without the father's consent, but he thought he had a valid reason. He thought she's his Shemeres Yavam. So he thought there was a valid reason for him to be doing a minor. There's much more logical reason than for the Gemara to be saying that we should assume that maybe the father didn't like the first one's condition, but he accepts the second one's condition. And that would be why, because he might figure that the first one did wrong by me. What's he doing trying to marry my daughter without my permission, Bechlal? Whereas the second one, okay, he's also trying to marry without my permission, but at least he thought he's doing a mitzvah of Yibum.
And therefore
the Gemara has reason to mention that he didn't want the first one's kedushin, but he may not mind the second one's kedushin.
He'll tolerate it.
Next, another scenario, loy osama mimer. We said that if the brother did not do mimer with this katana, again, we have the katana was miskadish by the first brother, shaloy ladasavia, and we're not sure whether the father ends up agreeing or not. Now, he died, his brother is, she's a shemeres yavam to his brother. Now, let's say this brother did not do mimer with her. So then there's no reason for a get. Then she only needs chalitza. She doesn't need a get because there was no mimer. Now, the key that we're saying over here is she doesn't need miyun either. Why? Because my amati boy nami miyun. Why? You would think that maybe she would need miyun. Again, shemu yemu in kedushin types in basari. So because for the same reason, people are going to be confused about the scenario with their sister. People aren't going to know. People are going to think that their brother, this brother later on is the kaddish, her sister, kedushin wouldn't be topis where really they might be. Not a problem in this case. Because everyone knows that the issue of your chalutza sister is itself only drabanan. Therefore, they will know once there was chalitza over here, they will automatically know that this sister, that yes, kedushin could be tofus with her.
Even today, they would not be.
We know that.
Could it be tofus?
Because the Rabbanan don't have the ability to make a kedushin to prevent a kedushin from taking effect. If achoitz chalutzase, if the sister of your chalutza is only also the Rabbanan, which it is, then it means midaraisa she would be allowed to marry you. Therefore, even the Rabbanan kedushin are typhus. Just the chachamim will force you to divorce her, but the kedushin will be yes.
You just ignore what they're about to say.
No, the Kedushin, not ignore. The Kedushin are typhus in the sense, for example, that therefore this woman now is going to be considered a married woman for all purposes. However, we're going to force them to get divorced, and then she'll be a Grusha. As opposed to, for example, if a person was Makadish, let's say his wife's sister, while his wife is alive, Kedushin are not even typhus. He doesn't have to give her a get, nothing. She's not considered a married woman, Bichlal.
Even the Rabbana could take a Kedushin, how come they can prevent kedushin?
That's a good question. No, his point is because, for example, we find in a few places, we learned in a few places that the inner rabbanon the kedushin, that the rabbanon can undo the kedushin retroactively.
When did
the
end up finally involving
the
chatzilah? Depends among.
It's
a good question. I don't know. It's that. Among Sfardim, they didn't abolish yibum ada yemazet. Among Sfardim, it's still mitzvah yibum kedemus the mitzvah chalitza.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's only by us Ashkenazim, and that's I don't know how common it is, but yes, it happens. It goes actually all the way back to, this is something else that we learned in Yevamos, so Alavai, you had been here for it. In Yevamos, we had a machlokes of Abba Shol and the Chachamim, whether if a person is doing Yibum, not completely the Shem Shemayim, is that a good thing or not? Abba Shol says no, and the Chachmei Ashkenazim, the Balei HaTosfos, and eventually the Rama, all say like that. Therefore, we don't do Yibum now.
Ashkenazim.
Where's Sidim?
I didn't catch what
one. Because if you do Abba Shol, I mean, we can talk about it at length. We have to get going. But Abba Shol says that if you do Yibum, that after all, Yibum is overriding a lav in the Torah, and Issur Koris. If you're doing it, Shalom L'Shem, if you're not doing it 100% L'Shem Shemayim, then it's as if you're being having relations with an Erev. Yeah. So anyway, Hakol Yoid Machoitz Chalutza Derabbanan. Everybody knows that your sister of the Chalutza is only also Derabbanan, and therefore Kedushin are choices there. The Amar Rish Lakish, because in fact we see Rish Lakish said Kan Shana Rebbe in connection with a certain Mishnah in Yevamos, a case in Yevamos over there. Rebbe taught in connection with that Mishnah Achoitz Grusha Daraisa, that the sister of your Grusha is also Daraisa, is considered an Erev Daraisa as long as the Grusha is alive. Achoitz Chalutza Medivei Seifim, that the sister of a Chalutza is only also Derabbanan. So everybody knows that. So therefore, when they see that Chalitza was done over here, automatically they're going to realize, therefore, that the sister is not also midaraisa, only midrabanan. Kedushin can be tofus with her. Now, if this yavam, if this brother goes in and makadish this sister, people are going to realize that kedushin were tofus. They're not going to make the mistake of thinking that they were. Whereas in the previous case, because we need a get and we need a chalitza, the get can confuse matters. Therefore, we need a miyun as well to take care of that possibility.
Because
if there was a real valid get daraisa, it would prevent kedushin from being tofus with the sister. Okay. Now the Gemara tells a case going further on this matter of being Makadish Katanis. Hanu Beitre, there were two people, two men, they were sitting and drinking wine under Tzipi in Bavel. Tzipi, Rashi says two possibilities. Either it means Tzatzifa tree, the type of Arava, or it means mats. Or it means mats, like they had, there would be. It either means a type of tree, or it means mats. Rashi describes they would have like you can find such things in places like the old city of Yerushalayim or whatever, like in the Shuk. Yeah, like they have like projections sticking out from the walls over there. They put tents or burlap bags or whatever. Yeah, like a canopy for shade. So they were sitting under that. Shoko chad minayu kosa de chamra. One of them took a cup of wine, yov le lechavre, and gave it to the other one. Omer, and he says, mikad shalach brati livri. with this wine, your daughter is niskadish to my son. Does that work?
What's the shade
just happens to be where they were sitting. Even according to the opinion that we said before, that we have to be, with the whole thing of Rav and Shmuel, that we have to be concerned with the tradition without the father's knowledge, we have to be concerned, maybe the father agreed. We may say that the father agreed if he's not around. We cannot say that the son agreed if he's not around. Therefore, there's no kedushin over here.
This case is reversed. No,
it's not reversed, but in other words,
are they both?
Hold on. No. One second. If the case over here was that one of them says to the other, with this cup of wine, your daughter is in the Scottish to me, and the other one accepted, of course, as long as the daughter is a Tana, there's kedushin. You were talking about he's Makadosh, or he's being trying to be Makadosh to his son.
No, he's the son of Putin.
The pashtus not, but even if he was, Lachora, it doesn't matter. The father doesn't have the ability to be Makadosh his son. The father has the ability to be Makadosh his daughter, as Biti Nasati Leishazet. There's no such thing in the Torah that a father has the ability to be Makadosh his son without the son's consent.
So the friend who has a son and is not present for that cannot be...
Yeah. So Rashi says the reason is because with a girl, fine. We learned at the beginning of the parak Tavla Mesa Tandu, a woman is less picky about who she marries because she'd rather be with somebody. It was very hard to be a single woman in those days. Mashenkin, a boy, is more picky about it. That plus the fact that his father anyway doesn't have such rishus. Doesn't have rishus to be Mekadoshim without him.
Okay.
So it's nothing. I'm related to Rabbanon Rabbina, so that Rabbanon says to Rabbina, why not? The Duma Shliach Shaviyeh, who says maybe the son made his father a Shliach to be Mekadoshim? The answer is, L'chotzif Inish, L'shaviyeh L'avur Shliach. A person is not so chutzpedik to make his father a Shliach like that.
So let's say he is.
If he is, then fine. Well, wait. The question is, the Duma Artsuye Artsiyeh Tameh. Okay, but what happens if, for example, let's say the son had not officially appointed his father a shliach, because we're saying that would be disrespectful. But let's say, Rashi explains that suya arti means that the son says to the father, you know, I want to marry this girl.
What? Okay.
Yeah. The son says to the father, I want to marry this girl. So the father voluntarily becomes a shliach, to be a kaddisher on his behalf.
So the son is masculine.
That's the question. That's the question. Why are you saying it's not a valid kedushin? Shouldn't we have to find out whether the son maybe said sometime previously that he actually does want to marry this girl? There's a couple of other possibilities, possible explanations of what Artsuya Artsiya means. One is Tosfos Riyazakin says another explanation of it is that the father did not ask the son ahead of time. But let's say after this story, after he sat together with his friend and they passed the cup of wine and said, your daughter is Makadosh to my son. Afterwards, the father goes to the son and tells him what he did, and the son doesn't object.
He's masculine.
Well, we don't know if he's masculine. He doesn't explicitly say he's masculine, but he doesn't say anything. He doesn't say anything either. He's shusik, he says. He's quiet.
It wouldn't hold because at a time where you...
We don't know. That's what we're asking. No, but it does. Lechora, the argument is, according to Rashi, the argument is since we know the son wanted to marry her, then it should be good. According to Tosfos Riyazakin, since afterwards he told the son and the son did not object, maybe at this point, it should be good. Again, we have to say, you know, when we started the sugya and we had the whole point about that the case of the kedushin of a daughter that was done shaloi midas aviyah, we mentioned there's a lot of different opinions. Are we talking about the father was not there, but afterwards he finds out about it and doesn't say anything, or maybe even agrees, and so forth? Here it could be a similar kind of thing. Does the son actually have to say, okay, I agree? Is it enough maybe if he's quiet? But if he tells the son afterwards, then
it has to be at the time that he receives the agreement from his friend that he has rishus from the son, not afterwards. How can it be afterwards?
Because, okay, after, why not? Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe that's what they're arguing. Maybe it doesn't matter.
Protest.
If he doesn't protest, yeah, maybe, yeah. Okay. So Rabbi Bashimi answers, you should know, you should know that our Rebbe, namely Ravina, whose opinion we're talking about over here, explicitly said, that actually he disagrees with Rav and Shmuel's point. Rav and Shmuel had said at the beginning of the Sugya that if a person is a Kaddish, a daughter, not with her, with her father not present, then we have to be concerned, what if the father agrees to it, and that's why we said you need get, miyun, and so on and so forth. Ravina does not agree with that. So therefore, we have no reason to be concerned that Shemin Isra'a, that maybe the father agreed. Similarly, over here, we have no reason to be concerned that maybe the the son was Nisra.
I was saying according to this opinion, Rav,
Ravina.
Ravina, we don't need the consent of the father.
Not we don't need the consent of the father, but we're saying, we're saying that if you were Makadish without the father being present, we don't have to be concerned that he agreed. We assume he didn't agree, and there's
we don't have to be concerned.
Meaning,
so
like Ulla said,
that the son doesn't agree.
Just a second. It means in the case of the father and the daughter, it would mean nothing's necessary. No get, no meal, no nothing. There was no Kiddushin over here. Same thing over here. There's no Kiddushin. That's what Ravina is saying. That he disagrees.
You don't need, meaning it's
meaning there's nothing happened over here yet. Okay, Tosfos discusses at some length, other Rishonim also discuss at some length. Again, are we talking about over here that there was Shaduchim involved ahead of time or not? That may make a difference also, because we said at the beginning of the Sugya. Tosfos discusses who in the end is the halacha like. Usually the halacha, usually from the time of Abaya and Rava and onward, usually the halacha is like Basroi, is like a later opinion. So here, if he's saying Ravina disagrees with Rav and Shmuel, it should mean the halacha is like him,
like
Ravina, yeah.
Which means that it does not take effect.
That wouldn't take effect. But
halacha is always Basroi.
Not always, but that's a general rule. There's a general rule that after the time of Abaya and Rava, usually the halacha is Kibasroi. Tosfos, by the way, mentions a case over here, an interesting case. What happens, first of all, Tosfos starts discussing the case. What happens to Katana, whose father went overseas?
Yeah.
Now, her father is the one who's supposed to have Rishus to be Mekadisher.
Right.
He's not available because he's overseas. In Shiltas to Rabbi Choy Goin, one of the early Goinim, it says, therefore, that she has the ability, therefore, to be Mekadish herself, as if she didn't have a father. Because
he's
a ktana. Well, not herself, but her mother, her brothers, or whatever, whoever is taking care of her has the ability to be mekadesher.
Who said that?
Shiltas to Rabbi Choy Goin. Then Tosfos mentions a case that happened. That one of the Balei HaTosfos, Menachem Miyuni, disagrees with that. So Tosfos tells a case that there was a guy who had gone overseas. He had a young daughter. She was niskadish. This Rabbi Menachem Miyuni said, she doesn't have the ability to be Mekadish herself. What if her father was Mekadish her to somebody else in that other country? So Rabbi Natam answers him, by that logic, what happens if the father dies overseas and never returns? You're going to say she's also because maybe he was Mekadish her to somebody over there? You don't say that. No, you don't say that.
So if he
Mekadish
overseas and he dies?
But in other words, Rabbi Natam is saying you don't have to be concerned about that. So then, okay, so Rabbi Menachem answered that there's a difference between being choshesh, that he was Mekadish, or that he could be Mekadish. There's a difference between, you don't have to be choshesh that he actually was Mekadish, or so much that
he
say, but you have to be that he has the ability, and therefore you shouldn't allow her to be Mekadish here locally.
But if Sat Lov and Bik is like a
Koyal famous thing, right, so they're right.
The Shliach is dead, so the peace, he's also...
Well, but there it's different. That's Yitzchak's own Shliach. Here we're talking about a father and a daughter. Again, Avraham did not have the ability, la'alocha, to be Mekadish, a wife for Yitzchak. He's a son. We're saying a father doesn't have that ability over his son, only over a daughter. But here we're talking about a daughter. Okay. Going back to the Gemara.
So in any case, if that's the case, as we said, how can we compare both cases, the son and the daughter?
We're not. We're saying there was a certain similarity between them, just as when Ravina disagrees with Rav and Shmuel about the case of the father agreeing to the daughter's Kiddushin. He also disagrees, by the same token, he says over here with the son, even though there is a possibility of Surya, I would say, that the son said ahead of time that he wants it, or according to Tosfos, who does it the other way around, that he told him afterwards, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Another case, Hahu Gavrit Kaddish Bekisha de Yaakov Ashukah. There was a person who was Makadish, a woman, using a bundle of green, using a bundle of vegetables in the marketplace. And again, it was a katana, and it was Shalom Ladasavir, without her father's consent. So the bundle of vegetables, sure, is worth a prosa. But Amar Ravina, Afilu Lamanda Amar Choshin Shemin Itzatzaav. Again, even according to Rav and Shmuel, who hold that maybe you have to be concerned that afterwards the father agreed, Hanimila Derech covered. That would be if the Kedushin were done in a covered dick away. I will derech bizoyin loy. Not if it was done in a bizoyin dick away like that. He would never agree yet. Amar Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina. So Rav Acha Midifti asked Ravina, bizoyin de mai. What you had two details over here that could be the bizoyin. One that was vegetables and one that was in the marketplace. Which one are you considering as a bigger bizoyin? Well, e bizoyin de yarka, e bizoyin de shuka. Is it the bizoyin of using vegetables or the bizoyin of the market? Now, nachemina, the difference would be the kaddish
b'kach. Actually, shava a certain amount.
It is shava prota. Shava prota, but still, if it's a bizoyin, the father would never agree to such a thing. Nafkamina de Kaddish Bakash for the Shukah. Because the difference would be, what if he was in the Kaddish with money, with something to cover dick, but it was in the marketplace?
That's
what we're asking.
Money.
Or the Kisha de Yaakov. Right. Or the Kisha de Yaakov Vesa. What if he used a bundle of vegetables, but it did it in the house? Would you also say then that Rav and Shmuel would say it's not a Kedushin? Omalei, so Ravina answers, Ivy Derech Bizoyin. Either way, either one of those things is enough for it to be considered a bizoyin. It has to be if the kedushin were done with kesef and they were done in private. That's when Rav and Shmuel would say the kedushin. But if it was done with vegetables or in the marketplace, then forget about it. Another case. Hahuda Amar Lekrivai. There was a case where the husband was saying, I want to marry off our daughter to one of my relatives. V'hi Amar Lekriva. And she says, I want to marry her off to one of my relatives. Kafse, she convinced him. She says, means she forced him, but on the side of it here it says, meaning verbally. It doesn't mean she beat him up. It means that she nagged him, whatever it is. She finally convinced him to go ahead with it. Until finally he agreed, you know what, fine, I'm willing to be Makadisher to one of your relatives. So they made a party for the engagement. They hadn't actually done the kedushin yet. They were just making a party to celebrate, like nowadays we make a bart. Yeah. As they were sitting and eating and drinking, also Krive Beigra, his relative, came into the attic. The kidshan, he was Makadisher secretly. So now the father had wanted her to marry one of his relatives. That one of those relatives came in with the Kaddisher in secret. But again, the father wasn't actually present. The father had finally been convinced by his wife to let one of her relatives.
How could he convince
Kaddisher? Not a matter of bizoyin, but wait. Omer Abaya, Abaya said, you can't assume that the father agreed to that person's kedushin. Why not? Because the pasuk says, "Sheiris Yisrael lo yaftu av lo yadaber kozem." The remnant of the Jewish people, the pasuk in Sefer Micha, in Tzfanya, the remnant of the Jewish people will not do injustice and will not speak. Well, lo yadaber kozem, and they won't speak lies. Once he agreed that she will be niskadish to one of his wife's relatives, he's not going to renege on that and say and allow one of his relatives to be Makadisher.
Therefore,
we can't assume that those kedushin are valid. We can't even assume there's a suffix about it yet.
He did it secretly, so the father didn't know.
That's the point. Even though afterwards the father finds out about it, we can't assume that when the father finds out about it, that we can't assume that he would agree. Rava says a different reason why you should not assume that. Chazaka, ain't on a tereach to suda, mafsida. You can have a chazaka that a person is not going to go to all the trouble to make a big suda and then ruin it. Like this, he's making a suda that his daughter is getting engaged to Yankel. He's not going to all of a sudden allow Shmerel to be Makadisher. My Benayah, the Gemara says, okay, what's the practical difference between Abaya's and Rava's reason? The difference is, Ikka Benayah, Deloitte Tarach. Fine, the difference is, what happens if he didn't, if he wasn't tereach to make a suda? So according to Abaya, still he gave his word. He's not gonna go back on it. According to Rava, there was no suda involved. Therefore he might feel free to.
And the halacha?
Usually the halacha is like Rava over Abaya, but over here I don't know. Over here I don't know if the halacha is passing one way or the other.
Okay.
Another case. Niskadshal of Das Avia. Now let's talk about this girl was niskadish with her father's das. Up till now, the last blot we've been talking about, her father was not involved. Now her father was involved. Everything's good so far. But the Holochavilim Dinasayam, then her father went overseas. But Amda Venisis, and then she went and got married without her father being around. The problem is, maybe her father was willing to agree to the Kedushin, but not to the Nisuin. Well, he may have wanted the Nisuin to be later. You know, Teshuvah Nare Tana Yomim Ma'aser, right?
Later on.
So what happened?
To the same guy?
To the same guy, yeah, we're talking about. Obviously, once there's Kedushin, she can't do Nisuin to somebody else. Yeah. Omer Rav, so Rav said, now, we learned in Yevamos, and then sporadically we've learned since then, that Minatora and Arusa of a Koyan is allowed to eat Truma, Mizrabbanon not, and he said two reasons. One of them, which the Gemara is going to focus on over here, well, one is because of the confusion that she may give her family. That's not what the Gemara is focusing on over here. The Gemara is focusing on over here, rather, is going to focus over here on the other reason, Mishum Simpon. Now, what happens if the husband finds some mum or something in her and is Mavako with Kedushin? So Omer Rav, Echelos B'Truma, Ad Sheyavo Yaviyah B'Yimcha. She will be allowed to eat Truma until her father comes, unless her father comes and is Moicha. If her father is Moicha, then fine, it means the Chuppah was not a valid Chuppah. Then it means that at that point she becomes also to eat Truma until a valid Chuppah is done.
On when you don't say retroactively.
We don't. The point is, Rav is saying, until the father comes and says, I have an objection, then there's no problem. You can consider her fully married.
Right. But the question is, after you object,
you
say that she cannot be Truma only after you object, rather than retroactively, because he never...
Well, that's what Ravasi is going to say. One second. Wait. Rav is saying that since the Kedushin were the das of the father, we can assume that he agrees with the Chuppah as well. So if he comes and objects, fine, then we know that's not the case. Rav Asi says the other way around. Eina Echelos, no, she cannot eat Truma at this point. Shema Yavi 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 Yimcha, because after all, her father may come and be Moicha. V'nimtis Zora Echelos v'Truma l'Mafreya. And then it comes out, like you said, that retroactively she'll have been a Zora eating Truma. Okay, Tosfos says technically she won't be a Zora Daraisa. Midaraisa, again, once there was Eirusin, she's allowed to eat Truma. It's only, the whole thing is only Midrabanan. We just mean Midrabanan that she'll be a Zora l'Mafreya. What?
Why did they ask her?
Two reasons we learned in Ksubas. One is because what happens if, while she's still in Arusa, living at home, if she takes some Truma and she's given, let's say, a cup of wine of Truma, and forgetting that it's Truma, she gives some of it to her family
to share it
with her brothers and sisters. And there's Zarin. That's one. The other reason is Mishum Simpoin. Actually, Tosfos, the Gemara doesn't really mention it. Tosfos discusses it. Mishum Simpoin, what if after the Kedushin, before the Nisuin, before the Chuppah, the husband finds a mum in her, and he changes his mind. If I had known there was this mum, I wouldn't have been Mekadosh.
That's after Kedushin.
Before, no, Kedushin and Erosin is the same thing. It's after Kedushin / Erosin, which is the same thing, before Nisuin.
There's a year between.
Between Kedushin and Nisuin. Yeah. Nisuin, Kedushin and Erosin are two words for the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was Nisuin that was changed. Between Kedushin and Erosin?
Between Kedushin and Nisuin. Between Kedushin and Nisuin. Between Kedushin and Chuppah. If he finds a mum and says, I was not a vassal of the Kedushin, then that's it. There's no Kedushin. We'll learn more about those kinds of things later on in the text.
She ate Truma.
That's the problem, yeah.
Why didn't she need a guest?
Because if he's a vassal of the Kedushin, he says, I wouldn't have been Mekadosh had I known this.
Mekachtos.
You know what? Wait, David. In a couple of days, towards the end of Pesach, we're going to be learning a lot of cases about somebody's Mekadosh on some assumption, and it turns out the assumption is invalid. Wait. Yeah. Okay. Next. The Gemara says, Hava Uvda, it once happened an actual case like this, V'choshlo Rav l'hod Ravasi, and Rav was concerned for this opinion of Ravasi, that Ravasi is saying that she can't eat Truma. So Rav, even though he himself holds she can, he was choshish to Ravasi's shitta and passed in accordingly.
Legitimate.
To be on the safe side, basically. So now Tosfos argues that should mean the halacha is like Ravasi. If Rav himself evidently changed his mind and Paskin in that case like Ravasi, maybe it means the halacha is like it. On the other hand, Tosfos says, Rabbi Natan says no. After all, Ravasi is Rav's Talmud. Okay, very nice. Rav is choshish for his Talmud shitta. Rav is still the Rebbe. The halacha still is like him. Again, before Abaye and Rava, the halacha is usually like the earlier opinion. Okay, so he was machmir on himself. Doesn't mean to establish the halacha.
So in other words, he thinks Rav was continuing his opinion of Rashi, but
still, but not to the extent of paskining it for the whole Jewish people.
The Rambam paskins like Ravasi, like the first. The Rambam paskins like Ravasi, like the first opinion in Tosfos. Yeah. Okay. Omer of Shmuel Bar Yitzchok umoydeh Rav. Now, however, Rav does agree. She imesa enegosha, that if at this point between this kedushin, which was the das avia, and the nisuin, which were without the das of the father, if at that point she were to die, enegosha, that the husband does not yarshin her. Why? Uki mamoina b'cheskes mare, because you have to leave the money in the chazaka of its original owner. We know that the husband does not start yarshining her until after the nisuin. We can't be certain that the nisuin were valid, since after all we don't have the father around to find out. Therefore, when it comes to dinim mamonis, you have to go according to the cheskes marakama, it's called the chazaka of the original owner. The original owner of her nechasim is her father. Therefore, the suffix, so the husband can't yarshin them. Another case. Niskad shaladas v'nitzis shaladas. What if the other way around? Not the other way around. Niskad shaladas, she was niskadish with the father's consent. V'nitzis shaladas, she was nitzis without her father's knowledge, but v'avia kam. The difference is her father is around. The previous case was her father was in Medina, so yeah, maybe he agrees, we have no way of knowing. Here, he's actually present here in town. He just didn't come to the. He didn't want to come to the wedding.
But he was agreeable.
Well, we don't know. Rav Huna Omer Eina Echelus. Rav Huna says in that case you could not allow her to eat truma. Rav Yemi Abba Omer Echelus. Why? Rav Huna Omer Eina Echelus, because he says Vafilu Rav to Omer Echelus. In the previous case, Rav had said that she could eat truma before after these nisurin. The difference is Hasam Hudla Isalav. The difference is the father is not present. Fine, you can assume that he would have agreed to it. He doesn't happen to be around, but here, where the father is here in town, you should assume, why is he being quiet? Not because he agreed, because he's mad about it. He's mad about it. He's angry. He wants sometimes a silence speaks louder than words, yeah.
Paradoxical that
an Israel
should be
taught
about
truma. Yeah, okay. Rav Yirmi Ba'aba Omer Echelas, whereas Rav Yirmi Ba'aba says she should be able to eat truma in that case, because Ba'afilu Rav Asi Doma Ein Echelas Fakert. Even according to Rav Asi, who said in the previous case where the father is in Medina Yam that she can't eat, in this case, Rav Yirmi Ba'aba would argue that everybody should agree, both Rav and Rav Asi should agree that she can eat truma. Why? Because in that case, we don't know, her father's not around, what if he comes and is mecha? But over here, we should assume, with the shosik, since he's being quiet, it's nuchi itnuchalei. It means he agrees with it. Shtika kajala. It's just the opposite conclusion. Basically, yeah, if he's being quiet, does it mean he's not saying anything because he's too angry to say anything? Or if I care, he's not saying anything because fine, I'll let it slide. I'm
okay.
We can ask him,
though. If we can ask him, I guess we ask him, but until we're able to ask him, then yeah.
Instead of him coming to the wedding, his daughter and his agreeable?
Okay. I mean, the fact is, she did it shalola shalola dasavia. We're saying that she got married without his das. She didn't check with him before she got married. Fine, but maybe he's saying, you know what? Look, I already agreed to the kedushin. Fine, you know what? You know, the heck with it. I'll just let it slide. You know, it doesn't mean that he objects to the wedding happening now. Okay.
Why? If he was agreed to the kedushin, why should he object to the nisuin?
Same way as we have by Lavan and Bethuel with Rivka. They're agreeable to the kedushin. The next morning, they wake up. Bethuel dead at that point. Lavan and the mother wake up. The next morning, fine, but they, Peshav Anarei Tona, Yomimei Asa. Okay, whatever, the father has some reason, he doesn't like the chassid, whatever it is, he wants to stall, whatever the reason, he could think of any number of reasons. He expects that his daughter is soon going to come into some money, and he wants to have reshus on it rather than, I don't know,
I didn't know that before.
Things, unexpected things can always happen. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did you done fire yet?
Not yet. Look.